T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us a little bit later in the 5 o'clock hour. I want to tell everybody at a little after 5:20, NBA scout Mark Cook will join us, talk about the NCAA tournament. And right around 5:35, 5:40, Christian Nuss, professional beach volleyball player, will also, her and Taryn Cloth have qualified for the Paris 2024 Olympics, and she'll come on, tell us her story and about the journey to get to the Olympics. So great to have Christian back on with us here on Sports Talk. Charlie, we haven't had a chance with so many Saints signees to talk about tonight in a play-in tournament. Grambling State, they win the SWAC. Now they got to play Montana State in a play-in. They win that, and then the bad news is you got to play Purdue. But, man, for Grambling State, first time you get that opportunity and to get into the bracket, man, it's that's great news for Grambling State basketball.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, Mike, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but don't forget what happened to Purdue last year as a one seed.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that Grambling's going upset. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching Grambling play tonight. I watched Montana State play in the Big Sky Championship last week against Montana. They're a defensive-minded team, in my opinion, like from what I saw. Montana, I think a lot of people expected them to win the Big Sky. They were one of the best teams. I think they were the 3 seed. Montana State was the 5 seed. I think Montana State now has actually won 3 straight Big Sky championships.
Yeah, so I think so.
They've got, you know, that kind of resume there, making it to the NCAA tournament a couple years in a row. With Montana State, from what I saw from them, that like Montana built a double-digit lead, and then they just went on like a 10-minute scoring drought, where they shot like 1 of 15 from the field over like a stretch.
That's horrible.
And Montana State was playing great defense in that. And then they just took control of the game. They ended up winning by 15 or more points. I think it was like a 17-point victory for them by the end of it. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun game for Grambling. From what I've seen, Grambling has a couple guards that lead them in scoring, scoring about just under 70 points a game from that team. So
we'll talk to Mark, because Mark scouts this area for the NBA. We'll be able to talk to him about those 2 shooting guards that Grambling has.
Yeah, as I said, it will be a fun matchup tonight in the first 4 in Dayton. Last night, you know, Wagner and Howard was a really fun game when it came down to the kind of the wire there. A couple 3-point shots to tie that Howard had. They missed all 3 of them. And then Virginia just kind of got clobbered by Colorado State. That wasn't a very fun matchup.
They set back college basketball like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just UVA. UVA's got a weird history over the last few years. It's either been, you know, first round exit or championship. That's all it's really been for them.
But man, you know, they shot the ball terrible.
If you're looking at the schools from Louisiana that you're rooting for in the NCAA tournament, you see Grambling State as the 16 seed. They're going to be facing Montana State in the first 4 tonight, and then if they win that game, they'll go on to play Purdue in the first round of the NCAA tournament in the Midwest region, which, by the way, the other Louisiana school is in McNeese as the 12 seed going up against the 5 seed Gonzaga, which is a very, very trendy first-round pick, Mike, as far as upsets go.
You know why? Because I've heard it said, and maybe Mark can be with us, I've heard NBA people say there's not an NBA draftable player on that team this year for Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for sure that, you know, McNeese has got a couple guys that the NBA are taking a look at. But, man, they so well coach every time they get into the tournament. Gonzaga, they got – he's one of the top coaches in the business.
Yeah, Mark Few.
Mark is a fantastic coach.
But, I mean, you're looking at it, Mike. Kansas is going to be without their top scorer. They're the 4 seed in that same bracket.
Florida?
It's going to be Kansas versus Samford in that first-round matchup. And if McNeese can get past Gonzaga, I'm not sure that you might see a 12-13 matchup for a chance to go to the Sweet 16. So if you're rooting for Louisiana schools, once again, McNeese is the 12th seed in the Midwest region. They're going to be playing Gonzaga. If they can get past Mark Few's bunch, they'll face the winner of 4-seed Kansas and 13-seed Samford, and then also Grambling State, who's in the first four tonight with a matchup against a good Montana State team that kind of went on a run in the Big Sky tournament. And if they win that game, they'll be facing the top seed of the Midwest region, Purdue, who's known for blowing those, you know, first-round upsets to bad teams like Fairleigh Dickinson last year. So anything can happen in March Madness, Mike.
You know, one of the things with McNeese is, and I know we've talked so much about coach and what he's been able to do there at McNeese, but the vast majority of his basketball team he brought in. So this is a team pieced together in less than a year. How good they've played. And they got talent, and they got talent coming off the bench also.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to give Will a lot of credit, and again, his staff. They were able to recruit very well. They sold them on a program. You can come in here. You can play right away. We're going to be good right away. We're going to win the Southland, that sort of thing. We're going to get into the tournament. But just how talented that Cowboy team is.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. And Shahada Wells is the lead guy for them. And he is, if you want to talk about having a good guard is essential to being solid in March play, like Wells is a really solid piece.
Yeah, he ain't the biggest cat in the world, but man, can
he score.
He can score. He can put it up. So when we come back, we'll have Mark Cook, he was a former coach in the college ranks, and now he's an NBA scout. Talk to us about the NCAA tournament, and we'll have Mark and a lot more right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, NBA scout Mark Cook. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for inviting me.
Mark, man, right around the corner, we've got everything going. Charlie and I, before we ask you a McNeese question, I'll ask you about Grambling State. And, man, first time ever. Have an opportunity. It's a play-in. And then you do play the top team in that region in Purdue. But, man, a great accomplishment for Grambling State to be in this position. You win the SWAC, and now you got a shot to be in the men's tournament.
Yeah, even though it's a first four game, it's nationally televised.
Yeah.
You know, you're the only game on TV during that time. So it's a great achievement just to get the NCAA tournament, but then you get to get your program out in front and where everybody can see it.
One of the things I know we've talked about before when we had you on a couple of weeks back, we got to meet at when McNeese played Nicholls State, and I always think with a point guard, with a guy that kind of controls the tempo, it's like a center in football, a drummer in a band. And if you screw up, everybody else is screwed up. The one thing McNeese got going for him, man, they got a guard, and he makes everything work for that team.
Yes, Wells is very good. In fact, I was just informed earlier this week that he did get invited to the NBA Seniors Combine, and I'm pretty sure he'll accept. I like him because he has the speed and the quickness to play at the next level. The size, that's a different story because they list him at 6 foot, but he's got wide shoulders. He's a strong kid. But those are the kind of guards that give the Power Five schools problems because they usually don't see a guard that fast, that with that quickness, with that one-on-one skill. And when you see, especially the Big Ten schools, when they see guards like that in the tournament, it always gives them problems. And, you know, it's been a minute since a Big Ten school has won the national tournament.
And then, Mark, I mean, you're talking about some top guards, and I think that's huge for, you know, postseason play and March Madness and everything like that. But one school stands out as having produced a lot of great guards in the NBA that may be better pro players than they are college players. Obviously, I'm talking about Kentucky. And just the list over the last decade or so of prospects that have come out of Kentucky as guards, like the Devin Bookers, Jamal Murray, Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tyler Hero, Emmanuel Quickley, Tyrese Maxey. I'm listing off all these names. And more recently, Shaedon Sharpe and Cason Wallace. All these guys have hit. And they've been great professional players. And then this upcoming year in the draft, I've seen a couple projections that have Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham being two top five picks in the 2024 NBA draft. But at the same time, this is a Kentucky team that's a three seed. They've kind of underperformed at times this year. But, you know, what do you think about those two guards? And what do you think about Kentucky's projection in the NCAA tournament as a three seed out of the South region?
Mark, with all that said, convince me, because I've seen a lot of people pick Kentucky to be in the Final Four.
They don't play defense.
Come
that's
on.
The issue.
You got to play defense somewhere along the line, and I've not seen it. But I've seen a couple of really prominent people involved with college basketball pick them to be a top four team.
Well, the only reason I agree with the top four is because where they are in the bracket. They have to play Oakland at a Michigan first round. If they win that game, then they play the winner between Texas Tech and NC State. If they get NC State, I believe they can beat them. If they get Texas Tech, oh, that's going to be a tough one.
Yes.
Texas Tech really can beat people up. And then at the bottom of their bracket, I figure either Florida or Marquette, they're going to end up playing if they get through that far. I like where their bracket is. I know John is emphasis when he brings those lottery pick guys in is the defensive end of the floor because he knows he's not going to keep them there long. So he tries to get them to emphasize the defense and we'll use your skill within what we run offensively. And that's basically how he handled this one and done thing. And, you know, he's produced a lot of pros, just like you said. And he'll always get people that want to come there because of the production that he sent to the NBA.
Mark, my next question for you, it seems like there's been a run of double-digit seeds making at least the Sweet 16. So right off the bat, before we start diving into the region specifically, I want to get your thoughts on who's your favorite double-digit seed to potentially go on a deep run.
Ooh, that's I picked NC State. James Madison, I like, because they're one of those senior teams that you have to worry about. Upperclassmen, a lot of playing time together, and those are the ones that kind of creep up on people in tournament. And I like them the best out of everybody. If Oregon gets their stuff together, I like them. I like them also. It's a team that a lot of people don't see from the West, but they've played well late in the year. And Dana Altman always brings in transfers. So same thing. You know, once they get in, they play together. They get the butterflies out and, you know, just becomes, all right, let's play. And I like the draw that Oregon has also as 11th seed.
Kind of the inverse here, Mark. I'm looking at the top seeds in the tournament. UConn has been the best team in college basketball all year. We talked with Ryan Horvat a couple days ago. Their bracket is just vicious. It's brutal. I mean, they did not get any kind of favors from the tournament committee. And if you look at like a team like Purdue that just lost to Fairleigh Dickinson last year, a 16 seed, they have a much nicer draw than someone like UConn who had to potentially play, you know, the winner of Florida Atlantic Northwestern. FAU was in the Final Four last year. San Diego State or Auburn. San Diego State was also in the Final Four last year. Auburn won the SEC tournament, and then later on down the bracket, Illinois won the Big Ten tournament. Iowa State won the Big 12 tournament by crushing Houston. I have no idea how Iowa State was the lowest rated two seed, and UConn just got a really rough draw, while a team like Purdue, I think, has a much nicer draw to get to the Final Four.
They do. Purdue has an easier draw, but Purdue's got to play. You know, it's like they had an easier draw last year. Well, they'll just roll through Fairleigh Dickinson, and that didn't happen. So, and same thing with Purdue. The guard play. What guards are they going to play against? Their guards aren't used to guarding guys with a lot of quickness and size. If they run up against a team with 6'4 guards that are extremely quick and can get to the basket on them, I think that's going to give them some problems. Teams are going to spread out, and they're going to try to get Eddie out of the 3-second lane. And then once they do that and they can get to the basket on those guys, Purdue's going to have a tough night.
Mark, I have a texter ask about your feelings on Auburn and how far you think they could get in the tournament.
Bruce Pearl does a great job.
He sure does.
And that second game they have is like they have a Yale in the first game. That second game, if they get San Diego State, that's going to be a barn burner. And, you know, you're talking about one. I love San Diego State. I love their athletes. Ladie is a center that they have not seen before. Big, strong guy. Looks like a linebacker at 6'9". And he's got and he plays strong inside. Their guard play is very good. Tremel, the point guard for San Diego State, you saw him play last year. He was the one who hit that three for them to go to the Final Four. So they have great guard play. Auburn has great play, period. Their post player is very good. Their guards are very good. So that second game that they have to play, that's a game you have to watch on TV.
Mark, kind of building off that question about the SEC in general and which teams you think can make a really deep push. I think Auburn, you know, I think that they should have been higher seeded than four. I think they should have been on the three line. I don't really understand how they were a four and Kentucky was a three, but I guess that's besides the point. Also, other teams like Florida, I think that they could be a sneaky team as a seven seed if they can potentially take down a team like Marquette in the second round of the tournament, and also a couple other teams scattered across the bracket like Alabama as a four seed. Tennessee is a two seed. And what are your thoughts on the SEC in general are this year?
Actually, I like their seeding because I think they're seeded enough to creep up on people. Alabama's number four, but, you know, they win their first game against College of Charleston. Then they have to go against the St. Mary Grand Canyon winner. Now, if St. Mary's wins that game, Alabama is just too athletic for St. Mary's because they have all those Australians. Now, the next game after that will be tough for Alabama, who's coming out that next bracket on them, and they could end up playing North Carolina. But Bama shoots the ball well enough, and their big guys are athletic enough to give Bama, give North Carolina a problem. They can stay with them defensively, and Bama can stay with them offensively.
And then, Mark, this has been a recent trend because the first, 35 years of the bracket, it only happened 8 total times. A 15 seed upsetting a 2 seed, but it's happened each of the last 3 tournaments. Oral Roberts defeating Ohio State in 2021. St. Peter's obviously going on their magical run, started by beating Kentucky in 2022, and then Princeton beating Arizona last year. Are there any of these 2-15 matchups that you're kind of keeping an eye on to keep that trend going, or do you think all the 2 seeds are pretty solid this year?
The 2 seeds are pretty solid, but you can't count out like Long Beach State. They're playing for a coach that's already been fired.
How about that? So, yeah, Mark, you can tell them, been there, done that, right?
Yes. So they're playing. They're just playing for the guy, Don Munson, who's a veteran coach, knows how to coach in the NCAA tournament. Then you have St. Pete's again playing Tennessee. And, like I said, everybody counted them out last year. And, they came back and they're in the tournament this year again as a 15th seed. So those two off the top of my head in the bottom of the bracket have a good shot. Western Kentucky at 15 and Marquette, I just read today, Marquette's point guard is back from his injury. So I think they can go pretty far. South Dakota State and Iowa State, The only way South Dakota State can beat them is if they just shoot the hell out of some threes against Iowa State. But Iowa State's a very good defensive team. They know they have to guard those guys and make them have to beat them off the dribble. Don't let them catch and shoot outside the line. So there's a few, and, you know, in the NCAA tournament, somebody gets hot on you, you know, right. That, you know, it's your time to go home.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. We'll get you back next week after everything sort of clears down a little bit. But, man, great insights into the tournament, and we appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much.
All righty. Mark Cook, former college head coach and now NBA scout, and interesting. His insights.
I don't have enough upsets, Mike. I'm airing myself out here. I don't have enough first-round upsets. I don't have enough late-round upsets. Last year's tournament was like a 4, 2, 5s, and a 9 in the Final Four. I don't think it's going to be that way.
No, I don't think it'll be that way.
The one seeds are really strong this year as far as Houston and UConn. I think they both could be Final Four candidates. Iowa State is one of those teams that I think it's going to be a trendy pick if you're not picking UConn to pick to go to the Final Four.
And last year we thought Houston might have that shot.
I might be picking Houston again this year too, yeah. Mike. I think they have a great defense. The issue
they
is
can't
that
play defense.
They have a really good draw as well, where I think that JMU could be one of those teams that makes a run to the Sweet 16. James Madison, I like their matchup against Wisconsin, and then potentially Duke. And then you're looking at facing a 12 seed to get to the Elite Eight. And I think that's really solid for Houston. It's a matter of who they get in the Final Four. Once again, I think that Midwest bracket is pretty weak. So if it's Purdue, if they kind of make it out of there, that's one thing. I think Creighton, maybe Tennessee, Texas, one of those teams is going to make it out to the Final Four.
I think for a lot of gamblers, their deal is, I got to see it to believe it from Purdue.
I don't believe it at all. I
got to see it to believe it.
I'm picking Creighton, but I'm also a little bit nervous about that second-round matchup with either South Carolina or Oregon, which by me saying they're going to lose to Akron, of course. So we'll see how that goes.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us professional beach volleyball player Christian Nuss. Her and Taryn Cloth have qualified for the 2024 Paris Olympics. We'll have Christian on with us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Kristen Nuss, professional beach volleyball player. She's teamed up, tag teaming with Taryn Cloth. They've qualified for the Paris Olympics. And Kristen, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You actually have Taryn as well. You got the two.
Both of y'all. That's awesome. I'll give you a little insights on this. I saw it, you know, beach volleyball on television, never saw it in person. But on the Bayou, Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, they add on to their wellness program, and they built 8 courts there. And
that is awesome.
And so Danielle Scott is with me, and she has been on the hard court with volleyball in 4 different Olympics. And she tells me, she turns around and tells me, Mike, that's a lot different playing on that hard court and playing on this sand. So for everybody who maybe haven't envisioned that, and to see all the young people involved with it today, I was amazed how many people are all involved with the beach volleyball tournament. But it got filled up. We had, I think, 24 different teams playing in that tournament. And that really surprised me of just how much that has taken off here, because, you know, you kind of equate it more toward California, but how much it has really taken off across the country.
Yeah, it is so exciting to see. I mean, that's something that we kind of made our story, and kind of what we wanted to strive for was to change that script, that narrative that you have to be in California to play beach volleyball. And it's very refreshing, and it is just very heartwarming to see the growth here in Louisiana. Because, like you said, it is a lot of people play indoor, and then as soon as they get on the beach, they just absolutely love it. So if we can just keep getting more and more people into that sand, hopefully it just keeps growing and growing.
Yeah, Danielle was, Mike, I'm at an age where my knees can't take that sand either. They don't take the hard court good, but they're not taking the sand at this age either. So that was great with it. Taryn, being from South Dakota, what was your journey here? How was that journey, and how did you two kind of tag team together?
Yeah, well, there's definitely zero beaches, no ocean in in the beautiful, warm South Dakota. But actually, LSU Beach Volleyball originally brought me down. I wanted to graduate from Creighton. I actually played indoor there. And then I was a graduate transfer to come down to LSU and start my beach volleyball career and start my master's.
Both of you can comment on this, on the journey to qualify for the Paris Olympics, because that is, first of all, congratulations to both of you. But that's unbelievable to get there, because of it. It's not a short journey. It's not a short ride. It's a long ride to get to that point where you can qualify for the Paris Olympics. So both of you can comment on that journey you've taken together.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it is a very long journey. The qualification period, a lot of people don't realize or know, is actually 18 months long. So since January of last year, that's when the qualification period opened for beach volleyball, and it ends June 9th. And just to put this in perspective, the games start on July 26th. So you could not qualify until June 9th, and then you have to go straight into the Olympics that fast. So it really is quite cutthroat, and we have been flying around the world trying to qualify for the last few months.
And then also, if people, I mean, it really is a crazy journey, and we kind of wanted to document that. So there actually is kind of a fun little documentary that's coming out on our YouTube channel on March 30th that if people are wanting to know what that story kind of looks like of qualifying for the Olympics, they can check that out, and that will provide a lot of insight.
Kristen and Taryn, kind of tell everybody, okay, it costs money. You know, on the right stuff, they say, you know, hey, it takes money to get this bird to fly, so to speak, when they were first going into space. And so for you two, it takes some cash to go around the world to qualify and then have to go to Paris, France. If anybody's interested in being involved in helping on the sponsorship with the both of you, kind of how can they get involved here?
Yeah, they can reach out to us via Instagram, email. We also have a website, tcanvball.com. There's a way to contact us there. But yeah, we definitely rely heavily on sponsorships, because in order to qualify for the Olympics, it requires traveling all across the world, from Switzerland to Brazil to anywhere in Europe, pretty much. So yeah, it definitely comes with, you definitely need sponsors. So just any way to reach out to us, we would absolutely love that. And just having the local Louisiana sport, personally for me, means so much. So if we could just keep getting some local support, that would be amazing.
I know Louisiana Office of Tourism has been one of you guys' top sponsors.
Yes, they were from the beginning. They really wanted to help us out. And then New Orleans and Company, which is New Orleans Tourism, also hopped on board last year. So both tourism opportunities have really been game changers and just blessings for us. So we are super thankful to both, and especially Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Just absolutely thankful to all of them.
The training kind of setup, you can explain it to people who are interested in that. We've had people text about what's the training involved because of the fact that this is, you know, you got to travel all over, but you also have to train along that way. Kind of the outlay of how that works.
Yeah, we're constantly either in the gym or out on the sand, and it's pretty much just about every day. We give ourselves a nice little off day, but you can either find us in the gym or on the sand just about every day of the week. And then also, if we're not competing, probably on the weekend.
The big difference between the hard court and the sand, certainly it's obvious that you're on a hard surface and on sand, but also there's some nuances involved with that also that you can go through with everyone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'll take this one. So I transferred to beach volleyball about 4 years ago, and it is one of the most frustrating processes, especially if you are comfortable on the court and you are able to actually push off of a hard surface and you're able to jump and move. And then as soon as they stick you in the sand, it is like sand monsters are just pulling you down and trying to trip you every 3 seconds. So one, the surface is huge.
to figuring out the different elements, when it's sunny, when it's windy, rainy. I mean, you play through all of the different weathers. And then just overall, I mean, it's the same type of techniques, like you are passing, setting, serving, but they're all very different. So every single aspect is different in beach volleyball to indoor volleyball.
Yeah.
I will say, if there's any like young girls or parents listening, if they want to get better at indoor volleyball, I think getting in the sand, you don't have to stick with sand, but it will make your indoor game better, just fundamentally, just in all aspects. So if anyone's listening out there, I highly recommend, even volleyball. Though obviously I play beach volleyball, but I recommend just getting in the sand. I promise it'll make the indoor side better. Yep.
Well, y'all have the ESP with me, because that was exactly what I was going to ask you. Would you recommend it if you were playing on the hard surface? So, you answered my own question on that particular port.
So, I played at Mount Carmel Academy, and in the summertime, I played beach. And whenever I went back to indoor season for high school, I was way better. Definitely recommend.
The art of the tag team to do this, there's a certain art about it, okay? Because you got to be on the same wavelength all the time with one another. It's a little bit different when you have a lot of different people involved, but when it's just two, there's no other place to go. You got to rely on your partner there.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is if you are struggling, you can't be subbed out. There is nowhere to hide. There's only two of you. So you really do have to figure out the ins and outs of how you want to play with your partner. And honestly, picking your partner and training together is huge. There are a lot of differences, especially with indoor. But once you find your partner and you kind of dial it in, I mean, Kristen and I, if you watch us, sometimes we don't even talk and we just kind of understand and know where the other person is going to be or what kind of set they want. And that truly is just from getting reps on reps on reps. And it's also due to our coach. He trains us in a very specific way.
Qualifying, go through the process of the qualifications to make it to the Paris Games.
Yes. So there are very few teams that make it to the Paris Olympics, 24 teams per gender. So 24 female teams, 24 male teams. The top 17 in the world go straight in, and the rest of them are through Continental Cup games. So there's multiple ways to qualify for the Olympics, but I would say the easiest way is you go to international events and you perform at a high level, and that is the best way to go about that, and not just hope that somebody else does not qualify before you. And then another nuance, there can only be two teams from each country that can qualify. So two American teams, two Brazilian teams. Even if there are three or four top teams in the world, but they're all from the same country, they don't care. Those three and four teams, even though they're in the top 10, they don't get to go.
Wow. That part I didn't know. I just thought he was picking the best in the world, but apparently not the case on that particular thing. Tell everybody again if they have any interest in supporting you on your journey and everything, how they could, and be sponsorship-wise, how they can get in touch with you.
They can reach out via any of our social medias, our personal accounts, or we even have a TKN V-Ball personal Instagram. They can reach out there, and we also have a website, tknvball.com, that provides a contact us spot. There's also a sponsor us page. Definitely check out our website again, tknvball.com, and that's where you can pretty much find everything you need to know about us and get in touch with us.
Well, Kristen and Taryn, we wish you both the best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us here on Sports Talk, enlightening us on the beach volleyball. A lot of people have watched it, but not in person. And I got that opportunity. It was amazing to me how these 13, 14-year-olds, and they played so well together as a team. And that surprised me. It's not a lot of individualism involved here. There is so much involved with team play, and I think that's a great part of the sport.
Absolutely. I haven't met anyone who's gone to beach volleyball and not liked it. So we got to keep getting you out there, and thanks again for having us.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day.
All righty. Kristen Nuss, Taryn Cloth, both qualifying for the Paris Olympics. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 and finishing up here in hour number two right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two of sports talk here on the Big 870. I want to thank Mark Cook again, NBA scout, and along with Kristen Nuss and Taryn Cloth, two professional beach volleyball young ladies that have really done a great job now trying to get themselves, trying to get some hardware as the Paris Olympics get close to us. And coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, a couple of Saints guests that Steve will have on with him, including Jonathan Abram, who has re-signed with the Saints. And at 7 o'clock, spring ball sound break. Man, I've heard Kyle Parker, the wide receiver who Brian Kelly came on with us last year and really praised as a freshman, has really looked great in camp. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.